Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 588, Science Faction beaten HIV and idiot astrology.
Are these two Batman villains? Like, am I looking at Captain HIV and Madam Astrology, and they've taken the mayor hostage?
Yes, though I feel like any representation of Captain HIV made pre about 98 is going to be really offensive in a lot of different ways.
No, it's actually a 13-year-old child with progeria, and he only has progeria to keep him at that 13-year-old age, but his story is he got it as a blood transfusion, which was also a problem in the 80s.
Did he get progeria from that, too?
Yeah, you know what? He got two blood transfusions that day. Both of them were very unfortunate. But hey, he actually has a great backstory. Like, hey, he's just trying to steal money for his massive healthcare bills, which you could cover, Batman.
Yeah, and it actually ended up working out because he got a third transfusion from a dude with a huge dick.
There is a line out the door for a blood transfusion with that dude.
And a line out the door from ladies wanting to meet him before he gives the blood.
It just deflates. The blood from every erection I bone is donated to a needy child.
That's how they have to take the erection blood. Like, they have to take it out of the erection. If you want to get good erection blood, you can't just take it from somebody's arm.
Okay, so I'm guessing you fluff the erection.
Medically, yes, yeah.
Then you tie off, and then you extract.
Yes, exactly.
This guy's a saint. A lot of billionaires, you know, when they become billionaires, they don't become philanthropists to the extent that they could. This guy is a dick billionaire, and he is donating everything.
Yeah, well, to be fair, he has a serious substance abuse problem and he's homeless, so it's really all just for heroin.
How he lives his life after doing these great things, I don't care.
And speaking of somebody who lives their life after doing great things, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing wonderfully. I'm putting in an online reservation for a blood transfusion from some guy, but... Wow, the waiting list is like 6 months. Shit. Well, I better get my spot in now.
And two people who need no blood transfusions of their own because they are rocking it as they are two of our newest Patreons.
Hey, this is Alex Jones. I've interrupted this podcast for a special announcement. I have hijacked Damien's microphone at this specific time as Bobby was giving this specific speech because I have a message to two supporters of this show. First off, a little bit about myself. Bobby, you might have heard... That I was in some recent legal trouble, and I had a couple of court cases not go my way.
Yeah, you had the custody bout with your wife, and then just recently got sued by, like, the Sandy Hook parents for constantly saying that was fake. And I think you lost by default. I think you, like, failed to show up.
Yeah, I think it was something like I refused to share my financial records, so I lost by default in the third one, I believe. But, I mean, I eat a lot of chili. And that makes me lose my memory.
I was going to say, you had one of those moments where you thought you were being like a super spy, and instead of shredding all of the documents that proved you had committed the crimes that you were accused of, you actually just dunked them all in chili, assuming that it would erase the paper's memory, much like it did with your own.
Well, I can assure you, the papers were unreadable after that. So, Alex Jones wins this one. And by the way, you're right about me doing some secret agent stuff. Now, I hate to agree with people who support not the real alternative facts that I give out on my show, but the lizard people denying facts you give out on your show. Not a fan of that, but I tell you what, I'm in trouble and I need the best. I'm putting together a crew.
Oh, you got a mission?
Oh, yeah, I'm putting together a crew. Now, here's the thing. I got right here. I tunneled my way like Bugs Bunny into Abu Ghraib. Because nobody's looking for people in Abu Ghraib. Plus, I need a couple of people for my Ocean's 11 crew.
You tunneled, so you actually went under the ocean to get there.
No, Bobby, I wish. We live in a flat earth. We live in a flat earth, so I just have to go about 10 feet down, make sure I take the correct turn at Albuquerque, and then head on down to Abu Ghraib.
I'm so interested to know how you think beaches work.
Bobby, I have a separate PowerPoint presentation, but I only have so much time on this pirated signal. All right.
Beaches and the liberals who try and convince you they're real.
I gotta hijack. Listen, me and a couple of the dudes here at Abu Ghraib built a Hogan's Hero-esque laptop to establish a Zoom connection to hijack Damien's internet. All right. Now, once I grab a couple of these dudes, we're heading over. We're going to go grab Edward Snowden from Russia because we need a high-tech guy. And then, bam, we're going to go back. And that's where we're going to bring in a couple of your Patreons here because I need the best of the best. And I don't care that they're people who deny the existence of lizard people. We're going to pull off the greatest heist against a lizard person.
You don't even care that they buy into the hoax of beaches and oceans.
Listen, Bobby, San Diego's a myth. I don't know how to tell you this, but... All right, first off, after I grab Snowden, I'm going to head straight to Katie Steven. All right. So, Katie Steven, if in the middle of the night, roughly about 6 months from now, because tunneling is exhausting on my old bones, if you hear somebody come up, burst through your floorboard saying, "What's up, Doc?" It's going to be me. All right. And I'm telling you here what I need you for.
Alex, couldn't you just take an Uber till you get to the house and then tunnel the last 10 to 20 feet?
Bobby, I have people looking for me to collect money, okay?
How do you deal with slab foundations?
I go 15 feet deep if need be. Listen, there's sometimes when I'm going and all of a sudden, like, I'm going so fast, I hit the concrete foundation for, like, a high-rise building or something. It leaves a big lump on my head. I kind of have to go around it. So, like, yeah, sometimes tunneling takes some time.
When that happens, do you vibrate like a tuning fork for a good minute?
Yeah, my teeth make a piano noise.
There's so many layers of hypothetical individuals doing things at this point. I'm not quite sure what to picture. It's an Alex Jones-esque Bugs Bunny creature doing typical cartoon things. Okay, I think I've got it.
Yeah, by the way, I'm dressed up as a lady opera singer this whole time, and I'm seducing I'm catfishing a Texas hunter with my phone as I'm doing it. Anyhow, so Katie Steven, here's what I need from you. We all know that you're now if we're putting together Ocean's 11's crew, I'm Danny Ocean. You're like the Brad Pitt. You're like cool as a cucumber if cucumbers didn't also make frogs gay. Once we get into, I'm going to tell you the mission now, right? We're going to be breaking into Oprah Winfrey, queen of the lizard people's house. We're going to steal me some money so I can pay back my child support, as well as a few completely unfounded Sandy Hook cases. All right, but I need you to sweet talk those lizard people with your shiny facts from this alternate reality. They love the fact that you're an enemy of Steven Novella. They're going to be a big fan of that because by donating to their show. Secondly, we're going to need Ashley Cox. So Ashley Cox, about 6 months after I pick up Katie, we're all burrowing together to where you are. All right, I'm going to bust up through your floor. Same thing. What's up, Doc? Now here's what I need from you. If this Ocean's 11 crew, you're like my Casey Affleck and Scotty Conn. Except unlike them, you know that birds aren't real. All right. You guys are going to be my demolitions expert for this mission because we're going to need to blast our way through Oprah's compound and fight our way through the globalist golems. Now, if you're through with that, if you choose to accept this mission, there's going to be a bowl of chili arriving at your doorstep any day now. Eat that chili, and I'll take that as a sign to start tunneling. All right?
Shouldn't there be two chilies and you have to eat the blue chili?
Yeah, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I tend to eat. Sometimes I eat both the bowls.
Yeah.
Just because I can't help myself. I'm like a Garfield around lasagna, you know, eating Mondays.
That explains so much.
And heliocentric models of the universe. Hate them. Well, yeah. Hold on. The guards at Abu Ghraib are becoming wise. I'm gonna have to duck back into this tunnel. All right. The rooster crows at dawn, and the earth is on the back of a turtle. Goodbye. Well, what happened? I finally was able to log back into the meeting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Patreons, I hope you enjoyed that shout-out full of totally rational and easy-to-follow simplistic character direction.
Well, I don't know what happened while I was gone, Bobby, but I would imagine that the source material for whatever joke was made was pretty wacky in and of itself. And so you kind of got to go a little further with some parodies.
Maybe it was a little wacky. Left some prime chili jokes on the table, if you ask me, but
And if you're looking for another podcast to listen to and you're a bit of a nerd, but the tabletop gaming nerd, check out my Dungeons & Dragons live play podcast, Awful Neutral. I play with a bunch of friends of the show and very funny people, and we have a blast. If you like the comedy of this show, you will love the comedy of Awful Neutral. Awful Neutral, check us out.
That is a lie. People come to us for science and dick jokes, and not that nerdy Dungeons & Dragons shit.
If we never once talked about archaeology on this show, if we had nothing to bring down our comedy average, like archaeology articles, then yes, I could say that Awful Neutral and Science Faction were on equal footing comedically.
First of all, Damien, I can see the numbers. As you know, I look at the stats. And what I can say is that every time we do talk about archaeology, there's a collective swoon from our female audience. And so I think your methodology would put us at a place where we didn't get pestered like the Beatles, you know, in the 60s as we toured around. But maybe we should do your idea sometime.
It must be my Latino accent. Mm-hmm. I've been told that the way I roll my R's really drives the ladies wild.
Mm-hmm.
And the seniors, which is old people.
Let me ask you something, Damien, for your podcast, the D&D podcast, have you ever
Awful Neutral, say its name.
That awful podcast. Have you ever been chased around by women who are crazy to meet you because you're a podcast superstar?
Yes, but they're throwing dice at me and it hurts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think so. I've never seen it happen. So point proven.
Well, I mean, hold on. First of all, we're a much more inclusive community. All right. Like, yes, obviously women are smarter than men. So they're going to gravitate more towards a science podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think games are for everybody. You don't have to be a guy or a girl to play games. So yes, I'm chased by fat nerds, skinny nerds, nerds who hide on rocks, even nerds with chicken pox.
Those are herpes. All right, let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
Article number one, HIV, 70 million and counting, humans 2.
I thought I was reading the article and I thought you were meant to put like 70 millimeter. And I thought there was like a 70 millimeter like gun that cured HIV. And I was like,
wow. Technically there is.
70 millimeters, Bobby. That's we're talking a weapon that could not be held by human hands.
Yeah, I mean, you would be shooting with an artillery piece of equipment for sure. But like if it hit somebody with HIV... The HIV would not be around for very long.
Listen, yes, we did cost one human life, but we killed billions upon billions of the HIV virus.
Very, very interesting article this week about the only second ever completely spontaneous natural clearing of HIV completely out of somebody's system by their own immune system with no medical intervention whatsoever. Very, very, very cool story. We'll go over it. So every time we beat HIV, I like to like put one fist in the air. I want one of those giant foam fingers you bring to baseball games, but mine says humans. And I just, every time I see something where we beat HIV a little bit, I stick that bad boy in the air and I'm like, woo!
40 years, we went from purposely letting this disease ravage an American community to curing it. That is progress.
And I'll tell you what, I'm always skeptical of the guy on the opposite side of the arena who has the HIV foam finger. And he's like, I'm like, why? Why are you into this?
It's Alex Jones. Go team. Listen, I like the Raiders. I'll support the HIV. I like the bad boys of the sport. You know what I'm talking about?
Team HIV is more understandable. All right.
John Madden also coached for Team HIV for a brief period.
So we've gone through an interesting history of HIV where essentially getting it was a death sentence at one point. And then what we started to realize is that if you had the right antiretroviral drugs, if you had the right healthcare, if you had the right treatments, you were able to be kept alive, though usually somewhat sickly. And eventually it became a consistently livable disease that you just have and live the rest of your life. And that has been, this might be hard for listeners who you know, grew up in a different time period, but when Damien and I were young, when HIV was like coming out, it was the scariest thing in the world. And it was like rabies. Like if you caught it, you were dead. It was 100% lethal. And it didn't even take that long. Like, I feel like people would die. They'd be like, yeah, I caught HIV 4.5 months ago. And now I'm almost dead.
But how much do you think, like, I'd love to go back and like in a time machine and relive the 80s and 90s, but like with my current perspective.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering how much of the fear around HIV, I mean, certainly was a deadly disease, but was also based in homophobia.
Some of it, but
like if I got HIV, people are going to think I was gay or a druggie.
Yeah, and maybe, yeah, maybe some of that that was certainly there, but also I think it was just this terrifying disease. It was it was associated with quote-unquote vice, like you said, like unprotected sex and drugs and stuff, and so it became easy to write off by certain segments of the population as like, oh, well, that's just for bad people and stuff. But the fact that we have come so far where we have taken this death sentence and just made it like any other disease you can live with is fantastic. But we still haven't gotten to the point where we can cure it yet. Let's talk about like the history of proposed cures. Now, the number one way that we can almost cure HIV is to basically
shrinking down human soldiers.
Yeah, well, if you can get a Miss Frizzle-esque SEAL Team 6 that could get into the bloodstream, yes, maybe you could stop it then.
The problem with that, though, is that like once they get set up, you know, like good luck getting the occupying force to leave. You're just going to have, once the Pentagon gets their gets their talons, their eagle talons into your immune system, good luck getting them out.
Yeah, a few people realized how sympathetic Miss Frizzle was to right-wing fascist governments.
Looking back from now, you've spent $30 trillion for the war in Mitch?
So the first thing you can do is just keep somebody on a steady diet of antiretroviral drugs, especially if that happens early on in the infection, and the infection essentially becomes unnoticeable. But the thing about HIV and the reason it sticks along for so long is because it learns how to hide in your system. It learns how to make copies of itself, like deep into your genome, so that later when your body is just making copies of its own cells, it accidentally makes copies of these things, which is one of the reasons it's incredibly hard to completely clear from your system. And those people who are on those antiretroviral drugs do, I mean, it is great that they get to live to their natural lives, but they do still have to take those pills every single day. And what we have found is, even in cases where we thought the virus is gone, it's in undetectable levels in their bloodstream or whatever, when they stop the medicine, then every single time it comes back because it is still there. So all of the times we thought we beat it by just doing long regimens of antiretroviral drugs, it turns out we were wrong. Now, there are two cases that we have talked about, one of them in particular, on this show quite a bit, of somebody who was actually cured of HIV. And I always joke, like, you only need either a whole other illness or a lot of money, because here's what happened to him. He had HIV, but he also had a kind of leukemia, blood cancer, and he needed a bone marrow transplant. Now, one of the things we're going to be talking about is there is a percentage of the population that is naturally immune to HIV. They don't have the right receptor. Usually the CCR5 receptor on their white blood cells that HIV attaches to, they either don't have it or it's malformed. So HIV literally cannot infect some of these people. There's a range of these people. About 10% of the population has some resistance to HIV based on the morphology of you know, the binding sites on their cells. But there is some smaller percentage, maybe closer to 1%, that is essentially completely immune from it, can't get it no matter what. And a doctor who was going to do the bone marrow transplant for this leukemia patient, you know, he saw he had HIV and he's like, you know what, why don't I give him bone marrow that got donated from somebody who happens to have this immunity to HIV? Because bone marrow is what ends up making your immune system, your white blood cells, everything. So if I give him that bone marrow, then his immune system, the one I'm giving him, replacing, putting in his body, will be HIV resistant, and then there won't be any place for HIV to go. And that actually turned out to work. And we call that the Berlin patient, even though it was an American that it happened to. That's the Berlin patient, and he is to this day still HIV free from that particular procedure. There was also the London patient who underwent the same procedure after
that.
He was
actually Japanese.
Yeah, right. No, he's from Berlin.
They got their stamp on everything.
And that person had the same procedure, and that has also been successful. So technically, those two were the first two people ever cured of HIV. Now, I can't emphasize just what an insanely serious medical procedure this is. You have to almost kill the person with a ton of radiation. You have to wipe out their immune system. You have to do massive surgical transplants of bone marrow. That's incredibly painful for the donor and the recipient. You have to have the exact right donor who meets all the qualifications, plus has that weird immunity to HIV. It is one of those incredibly dangerous, unlikely, blah, 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 would not be a feasible cure for your everyday person type things. Then, last year, and we mentioned this briefly, Laureen Willenberg out of California was the first person we know of to naturally clear her body of HIV. She was first diagnosed. Probably.
Laxatives.
Avocado toast.
Lavender.
She was diagnosed 27 years ago, I guess 28 now, it's happened in 2020, but she was diagnosed, she absolutely had it, she had the antibodies in her system, but when they looked at her, she never went through treatment, she never got drugs, she never even got sick, and she no longer had it in her system in 2020. And I don't just mean testing-wise, like we talked about before, where you look through the blood and you say there's not detectable levels in the blood. They actually go through the cells to see if HIV was able to hide copies of itself deep down into your genome so it would pop up later. And no, her body completely cleared it. In fact, there's some evidence from her that seems to indicate that it worked so quickly that it never really had that much of a chance to take a main infection, take a hold. So what's going on there?
She took like vitamin C supplements right as she...
Yeah, she got some kind of boost.
Yeah, she took vitamin C supplements right after she had unprotected sex, like you would a Plan B pill.
No, it's like the movie Powder. She was struck by lightning as she was having unprotected sex.
So she also has superpowers. Madam Promiscuous.
I got it. She was peeing into a fountain with her daughter on that night at exactly midnight, and they were both wishing to have one another's life, and through the magic that is Freaky Friday, she transferred the HIV to her daughter.
Good Lord.
It'd be an interesting one to explain to the doctor, though.
You've seen Freaky Friday, right, doctor? I'm going to 5150 both of you.
So what is her deal? This was a big deal when it happened, because why is she immune? She is not one of these people who, you know, can't catch HIV. That's a different thing. She has antibodies, meaning she did catch it at some point and her body fought it off. So that's a very different position. And she doesn't have the mutations that would make her completely immune. So there's something different about her immune system that allowed her to beat that thing. And we have now found a second person like this. The second one, now known as Esperanza from Argentina. That's not actually her name. It's the name of her town. But it also means hope in Spanish. So I guess it's got a double entendre. And she was diagnosed 8 years ago in 2013 with HIV. Same thing. No antiretroviral drugs. No nothing, and now her system is completely clear. They've done 1,000 tests on her to make sure there's no little viral bits hiding in her genome somewhere. Nothing. It's gone. It is wiped out of her system. Her body did it themselves.
But like, did their immune systems know jujitsu or something? Like what?
Argentina, Damien.
And doesn't matter. The other one wasn't Brazilian either, Bobby. Anybody can learn jujitsu.
Well, the idea is there is something called elite controllers. And these people, we've known about them for a while. They catch HIV and their body is able to kind of keep it in check without drugs. It's actually quite impressive. Their body can basically fight off HIV all on their own. These people are very rare too. Now, the HIV is still in their system and it will be in their system forever, but they are not getting sicker. Well, it turns out what we think is going on with this woman from California and now this woman from Argentina is that they are the elite of elite controllers, and their body isn't just able to hold the HIV in check, it's actually able to beat HIV and completely clear it out of their systems.
So I was right. Their immune system knows jujitsu. I might not have used all your fancy schmancy words, but they have elite, trained, deadly warrior immune systems. Joe Rogan would roll with that immune system.
Who knows? Maybe the idea is that their immune system didn't respond quick enough, because keep in mind, HIV is attacking those T cells. So maybe their immune system response is different. Maybe it doesn't use, it's fucked up and its T cells don't respond quickly enough and that deficit made it better. We don't know yet. It's one of those things that will be really interesting and we desperately want to know, because this could be the clue to the cure. I mean, look, we can look at the bone marrow transplants that we did to the Berlin patient and London patient and say this is a cure, but in reality, it's a cure for such a tiny percentage of the population that will ever have access to all of that stuff with all of those specific parameters in place, that it's just so unlikely. But these women's bodies have found a way to beat HIV by themselves. And if we could figure out how they did it, we might be able to replicate it in other people's bodies. This is really interesting, because this really could be the way out to the cure.
What about mRNA vaccines? Are we going to get to the cure faster with that?
That would still be a vaccine, right? So you'd still have to do that before you got infected with HIV. And maybe that will come down the road and that will be a great thing and we should give it to kids the way we do like HPV vaccines, but that still wouldn't help all the people that have it now.
Okay, perhaps mRNA was the wrong word. CRISPR. We go in and we surgically remove that part of the fucking genome that has been infected.
CRISPR may end up being part of a cleanup process. That's a good point. You know, maybe it goes in and it looks
it's
for
the
it.
The day of the process.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that might be, you know, that might be part of a treatment. I don't know if that would be 100% effective, though. You'd have to get it through the entire body, every place, right? Because all it takes is one copy to replicate later on. So really, the idea is training your own body using your own immune system, because your own immune system is fucking relentless. It's everywhere in your body and it can be there at any time and stuff. So like, if your own immune system's doing it as opposed to an outside factor or drug or CRISPR, then it is much more likely to catch even the tiniest little mistakes. And you only need one tiny little mistake for HIV to take back over.
See, like, I feel like a CRISPR scientist here would be like an Air Force general in World War II saying, we could do it from the air. We can just bomb them. We don't need anybody else. We could do it with CRISPR, sir. I promise you. We'll get on there and eradicate the enemy.
Just really, really, really neat stuff. I love every time we see this, because we could say 1,000 times over, hey, look, this thing is going to be the next HIV cure. But guess what? For this woman and some and the other woman in California last year, they did cure themselves of HIV. So the question isn't, can there be an HIV cure? It's how can we find their HIV cure and give it to other people? And that is really cool. I mean, if you want to talk about proof of concept, there are two people who just did it by themselves naturally. All we have to do is figure out...
steal their bone marrow.
It might not even be like a bone marrow thing. We don't know.
Steal their
blood.
Take them both. Who cares? Like, we can sort it out. Once we have the parts, we'll assemble it.
I do think we should pay each one of those women like $300,000 a year, and then like they just come in once a week to do some lab tests, and that's their job. Because like, you know what weirds me out is that woman, the Esperanza in Argentina, she's like probably back at work at a supermarket or something. Like, dude, like just has a regular job. And it's like, if that woman dies in a car accident, we are so fucked. Like, can we just put her in a safe place and have like, you know, some scientists look at her once a week and give her a nice hefty paycheck just so we can cure this goddamn scourge?
We didn't handle Henrietta Lacks terribly well. Let's do these ladies better.
By the way, just something to remember, that research into this field was literally set back years, if not decades, when the Russians shot down that plane a few years back that was basically full of some of the world's top HIV researchers. So
it was flying over Crimea. It had the plane and those scientists had it coming.
So every time somebody dies of HIV, everybody thank Russia. All right, let's go on to article number two. What's your sign and why are you obsessed with me?
Well, I'm a Sagittarius, so I'm obsessed with dudes with huge junks because nobody else is. Like, it's only us Sagittariuses. Bobby's packing heat. There, I said it. All scientists are. Ladies, here's a secret. Men who love science, huge down there.
Well, I wasn't before, but I got a blood transfusion a couple months back, and it has really changed my life.
And guys who are listening to this, any scientist lady, you... ask them out, buy them a drink. Don't pester them, but just understand that they are some of the most attractive and sexually aggressive women on the planet. Go into any lab.
This article was so good that the show for today was already written. I wrote it yesterday. I sent it to Damien yesterday. I just went to work today. I was doing my normal thing. And this article came across, and it was so
good. Sounds like you're trying to convince us you're a human. I was doing regular human things, eating human meals.
I was participating in recreation.
With my human family.
I literally had to rewrite this at work. I used my lunch break to say, no, that homework I already turned in, teacher, give it back. I would like the extra credit. Because let me tell you, when I saw this article, I thought, this article was written for Science Faction.
Yes. Very rarely does Bobby make a post on his social media, but he did about this article because when you hear it, it's lovely. As a Sagittarius, I just can't wait. Like, it's, again, huge dicks and curious minds and dangerous minds as well, the movie.
Yeah, I was just like scanning through my newsfeed and I saw this and I was like, holy shit, how do I not use this as today's article? So I scrapped the second half of the show and went, fuck it, we're putting you in. Sorry, you got bumped down, batter. We're bringing in the new ace. And boy, was I not disappointed.
Man, like right before the game, by the way, to get a pink slip in your locker, like right before you're about to cleat up and go out on the field, like, wow, this coach is heartless.
So this is a really, really interesting article on astrology.
Oh, Bobby, are you saying that something peddled to people in the checkout lines of supermarkets right next to the candy and lighters, is it good for them?
Yeah, well, what's really interesting is, you know, it looked at, it wasn't a huge sample, it was like an N size of like 250, I think it was 264 to be exact, but it looked at a bunch of people who participate in astrology, and it had them do a series of tests, including an IQ test, a big five personality trait test, a narcissism index test and a test to see how much into astrology they were. Like, did they just check the paper every once in a while, or did they like govern their life decisions by it? So they did all of that with that sample of 250, and they found that, contrary to popular belief,
all of them were in Mercury retrograde.
No, they found that, contrary to popular belief, participating and believing in astrology doesn't mean that you're dumb. It means that you're narcissistic and dumb.
Because we've talked about it on this before. There is something beautiful. And I mean, Iris, they're almost the perfect human being. The guy who's dumb but knows he's dumb. He knows his limitations. Yeah. And like, there's something so beautiful about that. I know a ton of smart people who do not know their limitations.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. No, this is great. This is really interesting. And I think it fits so strongly with like the hypothesis I've been floating for the past couple months about crazy people just being, just having too much self-esteem. It's very similar to that, which is, so they scored super high on these tests. Now, we're not talking about narcissistic personality disorder. We're talking about narcissism in terms of a personality trait. And what they found was that somebody who is more likely to believe in astrology, and those who believe in it more strongly, is also more likely to display strongly narcissistic traits and low IQ. Strongly narcissistic traits were the most strongly correlated to strong belief in astrology and followed by low IQ.
You know, here's the thing. I think there's a lot of people, because I have like dumb cousins. Like, mm-hmm. who are very successful because they like just, they're really smart when it comes to like sales or something or something. And they've done very well for themselves. But because they like are able to afford a house, they never realize that they're dumb, and they still base their decisions on things the Pope and astrology says.
Which is double stupid, because those two technically contradict in a way that's mutually exclusive. Like, you cannot be an actual Catholic and like believe in astrology. You'd be believing in witchcraft. Like, it's so contradictory.
One of the groups used to kill the other group.
Yeah. And I supported both of them.
But again, you have a house, it means you're not dumb. If you're able to afford a jet ski and Mountain Dew, it just means...
Well, the narcissism thing kind of makes sense. I mean, how else do you ignore all the rules of the physical world and propagate a magical system where you're the center of the planetary alignments? And indeed, narcissism, again, the most strongly linked to those who follow astrology. But I think it goes deeper than that. Like, the article talks about this. Yeah, well, think about it. It's self-centered. It's imagining you're the center of the universe and it's all that. Yes, that's true. I absolutely acknowledge that. But there's a bigger thing, which is, I don't think people come to astrology because they're doing well in other things, right? Like, I think the reason astrology is appealing to some people is because they failed math class and they failed history class and they failed science class. But look, here's this thing where they can seem smart. They've never been the smartest person in a room with more than two people they've been in. But if they fucking spout out a bunch of this nonsense about retrograde and whatnot, they can at least sound like they're an expert in something. And it also gives them the ability to deny reality. Instead of then having to learn the world around them, except when you're wrong about things, you get to just dismiss it and be like, no, you just don't understand the alignment of Jupiter right now. I'm actually right about this.
Yeah, and it's, I've actually had people, like friends, like people we went to high school with, Bobby,
yes,
who have like said something and I'll be like, hey, come on, I don't mean to start shit, but you know, come on.
Yeah.
Horoscopes are bullshit. You know that, right? And their like literal response to me is, spoken like a true Sagittarius. It's like, God damn it. You know me well enough to know when my birthday is, and you're using it against me for this bullshit. I think your average person, though, yes, there are the people who become experts in it, but I think like horoscopes survive and in the mainstream, in the zeitgeist, because they take people who aren't very good at science, or maybe even people who just like my wife at least finds horoscopes fun. She's a very scientific person. She does, mm-hmm. She knows they're bullshit.
Sure.
But there is like a, it's like opening a fortune cookie. You know it's not real.
Sure.
But like, it does kind of play, it horoscopes do such a better job than religion, than telling you you're special. Like, hey, here's your special.
That's a good point. So that is another reason that it appeals to narcissists, because if you think about it, you know, I don't know if you guys ever had a teacher do this experiment. I had one do it in like the fifth grade and I thought it was hilarious, which is they took the horoscopes for the week out of the newspaper and they cut them up and they cut off the name, like which, if you're Taurus or Sagittarius or something. And then they had everybody read it and they say, you know, which one of these describes you? And inevitably everyone describes everybody because they're made really broad. But if you're a narcissist, anything that's kind of describing you, you're like, oh my God, speaking to me directly. This is only a message for me.
I do like to go out, but not too much. Huh, that's me.
Yeah, they also found that people who tend to adopt astrology tend to be fact-resistant to facts against their belief.
I'm not wearing a mask.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I kind of been starting to think about it kind of like flat earth light, basically. I mean, it's almost as crazy. It's not as, like, easily provable. Actually, I guess in population demographics, it is as easily disprovable. But, like, it's not as absurd, but it's a way to deny the reality of the world around you so that you can be an expert in something because you know you're not an actual expert in the way the world actually works.
I think there's also, like, for your average person who's just, yes, I do believe for the people who pretend to be experts at that thing, but I think for your average person, like, who is never going to do research, they have a fucking computer with all the answers in their pocket, but they're never going to actually use it for that, just for crushing candy. But I think for those people, like, if you're talking about the challenge ratings of, like, the mental gymnastic routine you have to do to buy into something, yeah, flat earth, you got to be Dominique Dawes.
Yeah.
You got to be Carrie Strug. But, like, for, like, horoscopes or vaccine denial, at least the current wave of vaccine denial,
you just have to be somebody's nutty mom at that point.
Yeah, I think it's like being able to, like, take a step aerobics class in your 50s. If you can do that, like, that's, like, the level it's at.
Well, and also, astrology tends to correlate with other beliefs that are pseudoscientific. So it's kind of like, it is the gateway drug of pseudoscience, and probably much more problematic than we think. You know, we're sitting here talking about how silly it is when people are looking at their horoscopes and how blah, 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 blah. But again, one, if it's an indicator of a broader issue of narcissism and low intelligence, then we should start looking at it as a problematic symbol. But number two, again, something that the younger listeners might not know, I don't even know if Damien knows this, but there was a time where the leader of this country was making decisions based on his private astrologer readings, and that
he had fucking dementia as well. Like, there was a lot going on with that president.
There was. And now we have homeless people. I'm just gonna say, like, I'm gonna put it this way: no homeless people, president taking advice from astrologer, now America has homeless people.
You could keep going. There was a lot that happened. Under the sciences took a hit.
The one thing that was, like, really surprising that I learned in this article that I had not expected, belief in astrology is on the rise. I would not have called that. I figured astrology was 1970s dumb flat earth, and it was just kind of coasting downhill since then, since back when it was acceptable to start every conversation by asking what your sign was. I thought we were cruising away from stupidity. It turns out we are charging up the stupid hill.
Bobby, we just had a pandemic, and if you think of the pandemic as a test, we were the only country that turned in that Scantron with 42069 written on the answer sheet. Like we are that that should have told the professor, the head of the United Nations, whoever, that, oh God, the United States needs help in science really bad. Like, every other test that we fail, like astrology that comes out afterwards, I'm not surprised by.
Thank you, audience, for joining us for Science Faction 588, where you learned all about the second ever person who was naturally cured of their HIV, and how astrology is closely correlated with narcissism and low IQ. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 589.
All right, class, calm down. We'd like to start the Paris Climate Accords. I'd like to take attendance. Let's start with A, America.
I rule this school.
You've been listening to Science Function. Wait, that's not right.